Welcome to Ask the Experts, the show where we invite members of the community to come in and talk about their area of expertise. And today we have Clive Boone, who owns Danielle Boone's Trading Post. Clive, thanks for coming in today. And we should mention that Danielle Boone's Trading Post is a longtime underwriter of this station. We appreciate all the support.
Hey, first of all, I'm a little aghast at the word expert.
It's a generous term.
You got that right.
Well, one of the things that we wanted to bring you in to talk about was, you know, I know that you have a long history of thinking about emergency preparedness, and that's something that everyone should probably be a little prepared for. I could think of no better person to talk to about that than you. Explain how you got into that whole line of thinking, getting ready for a disaster or an emergency. Why you're maybe a person that might know a thing or two about that?
Just because I started 50 years ago.
You've been waiting for 50 years for this.
Well, and of course, it really is all over the internet. And the government has been telling people for a long time to have a basic preparation plan, whether it's 3 days or 3 months. But we're fortunate. Well, let's go back a little bit to what's going on in the world. Now, when I moved here 40 years ago, it was the Carter years and the Russian nuclear threat. And many people were building bomb shelters and buying survival food and guns and ammo, of course. And so this area that all of us here in this area of southern Oregon, it also applies to northwestern area of California, it was researched by a man by the name of Mel Tappan that lived right here in Rogue River. So a lot of people know his wife lived right out here on Evans Creek, East Evans Creek. And he wrote a book. He was a professor and very intellectual man. He wrote a book and did research about the best places to live in the world in the event of nuclear fallout. And of course, that was the big concern in those days with Russia, as ominous as they could be. So this area is excellent because of the wind currents and the availability of a nuclear fallout. So so you all have a one up there. My biggest concern from the very beginning, and if you look at the government prepared list, you Google it, you're going to get all kinds of stuff, all kinds of people selling food and what have you. But the first thing on their list is water. And we because of modern filtration, if you live in the city, you just, in America, you don't worry about water. But an awful lot of us in the county are on wells. So that's the first thing. If you got a well and you have no power, how are you going to get that water out of the well?
Let's start there with the person who lives in the country, has well water, and again, like you mentioned, maybe doesn't think much about it, turns the water on and it's there, but there's no electricity. What do you recommend someone in the country start thinking about to get water?
Well, years ago, back at the Y2K survival scare, I was involved in deep well hand pumps. Now, deep well hand pump, you can easily go down 75 feet, probably more. Big cast iron pump, the old-fashioned pumps you still see out in parks. And they're still made. They're made by Baker Pump Company back in, I think it's Minnesota, back in the Midwest. And you run inch and a quarter pipe down. There's a foot valve on the bottom, of course, and then a special cylinder, brass cylinder, that has leather cups in it. And that's actually what pumps the water, and you have a steel rod inside the pipe that actually pumps that water up, you know, as much as 100 feet. I'm not sure, maybe more. It would be awfully hard to, it'd be awfully heavy. But so that is the primary way, the old-fashioned way. I just discovered on the internet recently now that they make a simple hand pump. You still will use an inch and a quarter pipe, but it comes with the pipe, and inside the pipe is a smaller pipe, and simply by pumping like with a tire pump, you can suck that water out, and I believe you can go up to 75 feet, realizing the deeper you go, the harder it's going to be pumped. But at any rate, that's relatively inexpensive. I'm thinking approximately under $200. And on the handle of that hand pump is a hose fitting. So you not only can pump the water out, but you can pump it into a hose. And, of course, that hose can go anywhere you want. But the obvious thing would be to hook it up to your pressure tank with some simple plumbing into your water line. You can fill up your pressure tank, and because of the bladder or whatever design you have, you'll have water in a house that easily. I can't tell you how hard it's going to be to pump it, but that's the basic for water, and that is the first thing we all have to understand. If you live in the city, you know, they talk about filling bathtubs. If you're filling water jugs, you put in a teaspoon of Clorox in the water to keep it safe.
How often to put some Clorox in the water?
Well, just once.
Okay.
Just once. You could store that indefinitely.
Okay.
And, of course, swimming pools and things like that. But any kind of, you know, plastic barrels are available. But obviously that's the big one, because any kind of failure, obviously now the threat, with the potential threat that's on the news all day long about North Korea, threat of an EMP attack, which I'm not qualified to explain. However, it's some sort of an explosion that they set off in the atmosphere above the Earth, and that explosion is capable of cutting off all electrical grids, including your cell phone, of course, and our electrical grid is extremely vulnerable, because there's about 5 central stations distributed across the United States, and either by the EMP or even a terrorist attack on that one grid, they could knock out the whole fifth of the portion of the United States. So we're highly vulnerable to lose electricity.
So getting water is probably the first priority, and then after water, having some food ready to go. What do you recommend for food storage, food preparation?
Well, again, on the internet, it'll give you all kinds of basics, a 3-day kit, starting with water. But if you're storing for a long time, then freeze-dried food. And any dried food will keep 25 years stored reasonably properly, and not in a hot attic.
Yeah.
But reasonably cool area. There are all kinds of sources. I see it now even in the grocery stores, some grocery stores. and of course grains and rice. If you're going to keep it simple, beans and rice, and wheat. The thing I like about wheat, and I think you can do it. Oh, I was hearing you can do it with popcorn. Popcorn is the ideal survival corn. And as someone was telling me recently, I didn't even know that you can hydrate. What do you call it? Soak it and start growing it. What do you call it?
Sprout.
Sprouting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sprouting. Most of you know about sprouts, alfalfa sprouts. So you can do the same thing with wheat. So there again, of course, you need water because you got to rinse that. When you sprout your vegetables, you have to rinse them three times a day. Mm. Rinse and drain them three times a day. So again, water. But if you take wheat... Which wheat they've discovered in the caves in Jerusalem is still sprouted after 2,000 years.
Hmm.
So, and the thing about it, if you've ever tried it, wheat sprouts are very sweet and very chewy, and all of a sudden you get 10 times the value out of that wheat as opposed to making flour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have water, we have food. What's the next most important thing? Electricity? Do you want to try and get some kind of electricity generator power backup?
Yeah, generators are real common, and again, I discovered recently... there's two of the best long-term sources of energy. A diesel generator, because diesel fuel with a little additive will keep years and years and years. At least I hope so, because I've got some. But the second choice is propane. And the reason, as we know, regular gas, especially nowadays, is good for 6 months, maybe. And propane will last indefinitely. Bottled in that canister will last forever. So, and with propane, you've got a clean carburetor at all times. So you're not going to need to worry about the carburetor gumming up, and you'll be ready at a moment's notice. So these propane generators are available, roughly 6,000 watt, as low as $700, roughly.
If you have a 6,000 watt generator, what are you looking to run off of that?
Oh, you can run your well. You can run your – in other words, you can get 2,000 watt power. And of course, the main thing in an emergency, you're going to be able to run your well and your freezer. You got a freezer full of several hundred dollars worth of food. That's going to be a main concern.
Mm-hmm. Any other? Well, speak to the person who maybe doesn't have a thing prepared. Where does a person start? Where does a guy begin? Process kind of preparing for some kind of an emergency?
Well, as long as you've got the water covered and the food, the other thing, the hardcore, and from a practical standpoint, guns and ammunition, defense guns and ammunition. Why? Because if things are that bad, there's going to be marauders. Going to be trouble. So you better be able to defend yourself. And the simple, cheapest, first choice is a shotgun. 12 gauges, you can handle it, down to a 410. But a 20-gauge shotgun, a child can handle it, especially if you practice shooting from the hip. The biggest problem with a shotgun is a kick. you put it up to your shoulder, and chances are it'll hurt. But if you hold a shotgun at your side, the right hand on the comb if you're right-handed, left hand on the stock in front, probably a pump, you'll find that your arms will just rock back. And a child can shoot a shotgun that way. Good grip on it. So that, of course, if you anticipate the problem, yes, there's gonna be terrorists, and that might be your next door neighbor.
Okay. So we want to think about protecting ourselves in those situations. What are maybe some of the you talked about a little about this before at the beginning, but what are some of the potential emergencies, potential disasters that we should be thinking of? What are maybe even the most common disasters?
Well, here, fire, of course. I've been here 40 years. I've seen several terrible fires. Well, right here in Rogue River was one of the worst dozen years ago or so. So fire and, of course, flood. The dams have pretty well taken care of. Applegate and the Rogue River Dam have Lost Creek pretty well settled the flooding problem. But, of course, our biggest threat is earthquake. Theoretically, from what they tell us, we're overdue, especially California, but that fault goes all the way up here. And so in an event of an earthquake, it wouldn't be good to live in Crescent City. I mean, they went through it once. The tsunami threat is just horrible for the coast.
Mm-hmm.
So earthquake and volcanoes. we're vulnerable, subject to both, and mm-hmm. according to science, we're overdue.
Mm-hmm. What about communication concerns? Most people today have their cell phones glued to them at all times, and I'm willing to bet that we probably shouldn't count on cell phones being in service in an event of an emergency, no matter what it might be. Any thoughts on ways that we could effectively communicate, maybe for try to see if we can get some medical attention or something like that?
Well, first in that regard is battery power, just for your flashlights and what have you, keeping good batteries, and or I'm kind of a fan of some of the new technology and rechargeable batteries. But I'm not the right guy to ask, but because I have single sideband CB radios, which of course you hook up to your car battery, and you get all over the
several miles.
Yeah, you can get. I'm confusing it with ham radios, which covers the world, but. And I think ham radio licenses are a lot easier to get these days. And ham radios, I think handheld ham radios for $1,000 or $100 or mm-hmm. so. I'm negligent in checking it out, but I have single sideband CB radios. So with battery power, then your CB radios will be working.
Okay. What are some places you might direct people for more resources? Maybe this is the first time they started thinking about this kind of a thing. Where's a good place to go to find out more information and get educated?
Well, if you're on computer, you go to Google, you type in preparedness, and you're going to get all kinds of stuff. And like I say, the government one is very simple. Supplies and then if you're not on computer, you just go to the courthouse, and they will have a disaster plan. The city of Grants Pass, and I think Rogue River has one too. one of our church members, Don, is highly involved in that. Don has made sure that he's got a survival pack in his car at all times, water and medical supplies and food in the car, packed in the car all the time. If you may not be at home when something happens, and or you may need to run someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If there's anything I haven't asked already.
Well, the list, let's see, is there anything we didn't cover on the, I mean, the basic list is pretty basic. Your medications, of course, mm-hmm. and if you have infants, you're going to need diapers and food for them.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't overemphasize the water side of it. But it's common sense as far as the basic things, flashlights, bandages, along with shelter, tent, blankets, sleeping bags, air mattresses, things like that.
There's some companies that are selling, you know, emergency food, and you can get it at any dollar amount, any increment. Do you recommend those kinds of systems where you have a prepackaged set of emergency food at the?
Well, certainly that's convenient, mm-hmm. you know. And of course, MREs. MREs is interesting to me. MREs have a 25-year shelf life. So when you go to the grocery and you buy a package of macaroni and it says use up in 3 years, if you vacuum pack that macaroni, it's going to be good for 25 years, again, providing it's not in the attic. To get to your question, the package thing, that's the most expensive way.
Mm-hmm.
And for short term, wonderful. Buy $100 of, you know, a couple of 5 gallon buckets. If you're really thinking long term, then we already went over the wheat and beans and rice.
Mm-hmm.
Again, water. It would help to have, don't need it, would help to have sugar. And cooking oil is probably the hard one. But I'm sure you can buy that. Actually, I don't see why, like Crisco in a sealed can, come to think of it, should be excellent.
If a scenario happens in the wintertime and you need a heat source, you imagine having firewood handy or other heat source options?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you have the propane generator and enough propane, but for emergency use, you know, 5 gallons, if you're camping, you will camp for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks on a 5 gallon. So propane, you know, that 5 gallon can. And if you have an old canister, you can take it and get a new one and filled for $20 usually, the fill or less,
mm-hmm.
at the various outlets. So for emergency cooking, gas stoves have gotten much cheaper. Gas hot plates, they would be called propane stoves. Obviously, there's always the Colemans that have been around for years. But cast iron griddles have gotten much cheaper, not, of course, coming from China. I mean, they sell these turkey fryers, I don't know, as low as, what, $25, $30.
But,
mm-hmm. So have a stove, have something to cook on, and, again, propane would be ideal. I mean, everybody could have a 5 gallon canister of propane around.
Sure. Well, we've been talking with Clive Boone of Daniel Boone's Trading Post, talking about emergency preparedness. Clive, thanks for coming and helping us out.
Oh, my pleasure.
Daniel Boone's Trading Post is located in Grants Pass at 470 Redwood Highway. That's right across from Wheeler Toyota. You can give them a call, 541-474-2992. Thanks for listening to this edition of Ask the Expert. If you have an expert you think we need in the studio to inquire about their expertise from our community, just give us an email. Feedback@943thebridge.com. Feedback@943thebridge.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of Ask the Experts. You can check out our past episodes by going to our website, 943thebridge.com, point to audio, and then Ask the Experts. We'll talk to you again next week on Ask the Experts.